Welcome to Mortgage Space. I'm your host, Alan Medeiros, and today we have the distinct pleasure to have a conversation with one of the best insurance agents in the country. What do I mean by that? I mean that Marcy Parmley, Farmers Insurance, is in the top one half of 1% of all insurance agents in the United States. She's currently ranked number 5 out of over 17,000 plus insurance agents at Farmers. And with that said, she's just a hometown girl, Bakersfield, California, does her thing daily, is able to help hundreds and thousands of clients over her career, and does so with not only a competent staff, but a staff that really cares about just helping people. And I am so privileged and thankful that she's taken the time to talk with our listeners of this podcast. I'm really excited about this conversation today. So I wanted to just jump right in. As you know, as a mortgage finance lender, part of my responsibility is to make recommendations to trusted people in the industries that serve our needs. And as we've worked together over the last 10 years, I think that you found that when I make a referral, I typically do so because I have a specific purpose in mind, meaning I'm asking for certain things to be meeting certain numbers. But you may come back, or your staff may come back and tell me, you know, that may not be the best recommendation, or here's a better product that we have that fits their needs better. And I have to take that back to the consumer and say, listen, the reason why I recommended, you know, this particular office and specifically Marcy is for her to go through these coverages with you and explain the differences and why this is a superior product or this fits your family's needs better. So I'm going to go ahead and just ask you some generic questions, if you're okay with that, and we'll kind of let the conversation go as it goes. So the first question is, what is homeowners insurance?
Well, it really depends on who you're asking.
Okay.
If you're asking a mortgage broker or your lender, they're typically talking about fire insurance. That's all that they really care about. What that means is if the house burns down, you've got a mortgage on it. If the house burns down, they still want you to pay the mortgage.
Sure.
And they have come to realize that if you have a fire and the house isn't rebuilt, the chances of you repaying the loan are pretty slim. So when a lender talks about homeowners insurance, they specifically mean fire coverage. But when I talk to an insured or an insurance agent, homeowners insurance is a package that we provide to a homeowner. So it has a lot more coverage than just fire. Of course, it's going to cover fire. That's the biggest peril. So it's going to have that on there. But some things that your mortgage or lender doesn't really care about that you should care about is your contents coverage. Because just because your house burns down and I rebuild it, you want to fill it back up with furniture. Mm-hmm. You've got TVs and things inside there. So not only does it cover your contents in the event of a fire, it also covers your contents in case of a theft. Now, again, your mortgage or lender doesn't really care if someone breaks in your house over the weekend and takes off your appliances or your electronics, but you do as a homeowner. So we package that in there. So a homeowner's policy is going to cover theft coverage as well. It's also going to cover things, other things that might happen, a car running into your house, a tree falling on it, your pipe breaking and damaging your carpet, also liability coverage. Someone might get hurt on your property and you're going to get sued. So we want to make sure we have liability coverage. And then there's other package things that we can add on there, like identity fraud protection and other things. So when you talk to an insurance agent about a homeowner's insurance policy, it's that package. It's all the protection that a homeowner needs.
Now, for the most part, you are absolutely right. The bank is looking at, first and foremost, coverage in case of fire. And they call it hazard insurance because something potentially could be damaged.
Correct.
Right? Now, that is not to be confused with mortgage insurance, which a bank would cover or request in order to protect the bank in case of foreclosure or loss. Right?
Correct.
So
Correct.
Those are independent coverages that I think a lot of consumers don't really understand. They just think I have insurance. And they're not sure what that distinction is. So.
Well, and then there's one more, too. They also confuse it with a home warranty.
Good. Very good point.
And we do sell that as well. A lot of times you'll purchase that when you're buying your first house. Maybe it's written into the loan where the seller will give you a home warranty.
Sure.
That's going to cover your appliances. So you get in, your air conditioner doesn't work. You get in, your water heater leaks. It's taking care of the actual appliance, and that's not covered under your homeowner's policy because the homeowner's policy is taking care of the damage to the dwelling, the house. And a home warranty is taking care of the appliances.
So this is just an off-the-wall question, really driven by maybe what you've seen in the past. But let's just say somebody is a thief. They break into your house. They steal your stuff. Yet they get injured
on your property before leaving and getting caught by the police, what happens to that homeowner?
You're going
to
get sued. It's crazy.
It just seems unreal to me that that's even legal.
No, I know. And what I explain to my customers is we have a lot of crazy laws in California. I mean, one of the craziest is anything that happens on your property, you are responsible. You do not need to be negligent. It just has to occur there. So yes, if someone breaks into your house and he trips or you hit him with a baseball bat or whatever happens, you're going to call 911. Ambulance is going to come, take him to the hospital. He's going to sue you. And therefore, that package that I was talking about, the homeowner's policy, comes with, the standard policy comes with $100,000 liability to protect you in case that happens. Now, of course, I always recommend you carry more liability insurance, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit.
Sure. So in general, just to recap so far, the hazard insurance is just the base minimum requirement that the bank is requiring, but that just protects in case of fire. Now, there's some other things that we go into, which we've already discussed: contents, coverage, theft, liability if something happens on the property. But the ultimate protection is for the homeowner, right? That's the purpose of having the insurance.
Correct. You're more likely to have something other than a fire happen at your house. You're going to have this house probably 20, 30 years, or you're going to upgrade to another house. And, you know, your house can be broken into, your dog can get out and bite someone, a tree could fall on it, your fence could blow down in a storm, it can be burglarized. There's just all sorts of things that happen. And that's why you want to make sure that you get a homeowner's policy that's going to cover all of that. You don't want just a hazard policy, or as I like to call, a fire-only policy.
Sure. Now, let me ask another question as it's deriving from this kind of conversation we're flowing with. How does an insurance company evaluate the property? If that's the first part that we start with, and that's what we're covering for the bank as far as insurance goes, how do they evaluate the property? What are the things that you do in preparation to giving a quote that is going to be accurate?
Correct. And it depends on the condition of the house when you guys close escrow, because I work with different companies and they each have different requirements. But normally what we're trying to figure out is what the dwelling cost is. Now, that is completely different than what you bought the house for. And that's where a lot of confusion comes in. I will have someone say, well, I just paid $230,000, so I need to insure the house for $230,000. Well, that $230,000 included the lot, included the electric and plumbing that have already been brought to the property. It includes the school district, the market value, and everything around it. We're concerned with the reconstruction cost, because if your house burns down, I don't buy it from you. Okay, you still own the house. I just simply rebuild it. So the figure I'm trying to come up with is the reconstruction cost of the dwelling. So if it were to burn all the way to the ground, how much is it going to cost me to rebuild it? Now, again, it depends on the insurance companies. With my policies that I sell through Farmers, we also include the fire department fees. Because after a fire, that has to be paid. We cover clearing off the lot. Okay, some insurance companies don't cover that. That might be $5,000, $6,000 to clear the lot to prep it for the new construction. We also are going to cover any of the building code upgrades. A lot of times you may have bought a house that was built in 1990, let's say. It's not going to have interior sprinklers that drop down from the ceiling in the event of a fire. But all new houses and new construction after 2013 are required to have those sprinklers. So I make sure that I put building code upgrade on there, because if your house does burn down, we're going to be required to put those in there. I'd rather Farmers Insurance pay for that than stick you with an $8,000 bill.
Sure. So you've already discussed some things that I think a lot of listeners didn't realize that go into an actual policy that Farmers would issue specifically for homeowners. Well, why do you think it's important to discuss the differences now between, say, a cheap policy, which is just cost-driven, versus proper coverage policies?
Right. Well, on a typical year, to kind of put it in perspective, we lose, in California, we have about 200 houses that burn down to the ground statewide. I've been doing this for 15 years, and that tends to be about the average, give or take about 200 a year. Last year, in 2017, we lost 8,000 houses.
Wow.
So far, August 6th today, we've lost over 1,500 this year. So it's trending that it's going to be a big fire season again, like it was last year. Of those 8,000 people that had their house burned down, a lot of them are very upset right now, very disappointed, because most consumers assume that all insurance companies are the same and they're going to go with the cheapest company. Well, they're not. And cheap insurance usually means holes in your policy.
Sure.
And that's okay as long as you're aware of those holes and you agree to those holes. But I try to educate my customers so they know exactly what those holes are and they can decide whether or not they're willing to take those holes. So some of the things that people discovered after this recent fire year that we had last year was their policy may not have covered the fire department fees that I mentioned. Okay, which is the fire department responding to put out the fire.
Sure.
Okay, and then you get a bill for that. Their policy may not have covered clearing off the lot. Okay, I've been to these house fires and I've never seen one completely burn flat to the ground.
Sure.
There's always a pile of leftover melted stuff
debris.
In the middle.
Yeah. Okay,
that's got to be hauled off. That lot has to be prepped. If that's not covered in your policy, you're going to have to pay for that. Then the big one with those interior sprinklers, okay, it is required. It's a building code. The builder has to put them in. Your insurance policy doesn't have to pay for them. If your policy doesn't cover building code upgrades, then you're going to be stuck with that cost. And what I have found out with my recent claims is it's anywhere between $8,000 to $15,000 to install those in a house.
And in those instances, have you then thought hindsight that perhaps the person who was shopping for the best deal really didn't get the full picture?
No, exactly. They don't know. What they do is they'll call another insurance agent and they'll ask me for a copy of my deck page. They'll send it over. All that insurance agent is doing is looking at the dwelling costs. They're not going through and telling you what all the exclusions are. And that's the problem, I think, with getting your insurance through an 800 number.
Sure.
Okay. Is you're not actually talking to someone who's going to stick around. If you call back an hour later, you're going to talk to someone else. That person that sold you that policy is probably never, ever going to talk to you again.
Sure.
Okay. Versus my office, I'm here. You're going to talk to me once a year. If you have a problem, you're going to talk to my staff. And so we're going to make sure that we educate you on the proper product because we don't want you to have a claim and then come back upset.
Sure.
Like I said, if you are going to have holes in your policy, I'll show them to you. We actually have three policies through Farmers, good, better, and best. And the good, I will admit, is very similar to what other insurance companies have. It has some holes in it. So we always tell them, if you want to go with the cheapest insurance, this is it. But these are the holes that you're going to have. The enhanced policy is a little bit better, a little bit less holes. And then, of course, our next generation is, you know, the Cadillac of them. It doesn't have any of the holes. So again, what I have found out is, you know, it's a difference between good, better, and best might be $20 a month.
Sure.
You know, which one do you want? You want the one that's going to pay when you have the claim.
Yeah. I think that the concept of insurance is that you hate to pay it, but when you need it, you really wish you had paid for it.
Right.
Right. So because let's say health insurance, the whole concept behind health insurance is that collectively a group pays into premium pools and those premium pools then are divided up against those that use it. In insurance, it's very similar for homeowners insurance, but it's those claims that do get, you know, called to the mat where they actually have to pay out that the exclusions become more and more important because that's when they actually find the holes in their policies and what they thought they were covered in. But truth be told, I myself am victim of this. I don't read the policy. I trust that the professional in front of me or the one that I'm talking to on the phone has done their due diligence to provide the best product that fits the budget that I have, but also explains to me that these things are covered or not covered. I know there's exclusions on every policy depending on the size or style that you said, good, better, or best. But from what you're telling me, it really only sounds like it's maybe a 15 to 20% difference.
Yes, it's not large at all. And usually what I will tell my customers, if there is an issue on the premium and they want to save money and they really want a low premium, go with the best policy, but raise the deductible. That's going to offset it. And what I explain to my customers is the deductible is never out of pocket on a homeowner's policy. It works a little bit different than an auto policy. So if you have your house insured for $100,000 and you have a $1,000 deductible, when you have a claim, Farmers is never going to ask you to write a check for that $1,000. We're simply going to subtract it from the amount we give you. So instead of giving you $100,000, I'm going to give you $99,000. Okay, so knowing it's not really out of pocket, a good strategy is to go with the best policy, but maybe go with a $2,500 deductible. That way, you don't have the big holes in the policy. Everything's covered. You're just going to get $2,500 less. And in that case, you know, instead of buying an oak table, maybe you buy a cheaper table made out of something else.
Sure.
You know, instead of getting a stainless steel appliance, maybe you get one that's white or something. So you're still going to have plenty of money to rebuild the house, and there's not going to be all the holes in the policy, but you just get a larger deductible to kind of offset it and just kind of take the hit there. Again, it's nothing you're ever going to write a check for. It's simply going to be subtracted from the amount that they give you.
Okay, so we use the term deductible. Okay. That maybe the listener doesn't understand what that really means. Can you briefly explain what deductible refers to?
Yeah, the deductible is your responsibility in the claim. So if someone breaks into your house and they steal $5,000 worth of items and your deductible is $1,000, then the insurance company is going to write you a check for $4,000. They're going to take the total loss minus your share and then pay you out the difference. Now, speaking of that, that brings me to another topic. When we're talking about contents, one of the biggest differences I see in insurance companies is how they pay out those contents. Mm-hmm. So I just mentioned the example of $5,000 worth of electronics that were stolen, and then minus your deductible. But if the company is using actual cash value, which is what most companies do, they're not even going to give you the $5,000.
Sure.
It's going to be prorated based on how old your item is. So how I explain this to my customers is if you have a TV that you paid $1,000 for, but you bought it 3 years ago. Okay, its typical life expectancy for a TV from an insurance standpoint is 6 years. So if it's got a 6-year life expectancy, you had it for 3 years, you've used up half its life. They're not going to give you back the $1,000 you paid. They're only going to give you the $500 because they're going to prorate it based on how old it was. Now, that to me is a big hole in a policy.
Sure.
I don't like that one because I've seen house fires where the family has lost everything they own. And if you go through and start listing everything that they own and start prorating it based on how old it is, that's thousands and thousands of dollars less that they're going to get. And so we have our policy, our next generation and our enhanced, that actually has what we call replacement costs. Okay, so we don't prorate the item based on how old it is. We just take your used item and give you money to buy a new item. And really, that's the only type of policy you want to have. So when you're going over your homeowner's policy, you want to make sure that you have replacement costs, not actual cash value.
That's a big distinction, especially if you're expecting to have something that is new to replace what you had. You can't, unless the product price itself is dramatically dropped, correct,
right,
to get the same, which is, it's a big deal.
And usually we're talking, I mean, like I said, $10 a month. We might be talking maybe $150 a year, $200 at the most, between the policy, the good policy that has actual cash value, or the enhanced policy that has guaranteed replacement. And again, when you're buying insurance, I usually will laugh with my customers and tell them, you know what, insurance is a waste of money until you have a claim.
Yeah, until you have a claim.
And then when you have a claim, it's worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to go into this. You don't want to purchase your policy looking at the premium. You want to purchase a policy on if that claim happens, what is it going to pay out?
Okay.
Because that's really the only time that it has any value is when you have that claim.
Yeah, I think that you feel most protected after you have had a loss and you feel the insurance company has provided enough coverage to make you whole again. Ultimately, I think that's what it comes down to. Whether it be, you know, an auto loss or a home loss, you want to be made whole again.
Correct.
And you want the same stuff, if not new condition for whatever it's that you lost, so that you're not exposed to those losses. You know, you don't want to restart over again, but if you have a catastrophic loss where you lose everything in a fire, obviously precious things that you have, old pictures, things that are on, you know, that level of irreplaceable items, you're not going to get those things back. But if you can get your home back in order and you have, you know, all the things necessary to rebuild, I think it's fantastic. And on top of that, there is a big distinction, I think, between rebuilding to code mm-hmm. and the cost associated with getting to that point. Because I can just think off the top of my head, on a new construction home, let's just say they bought a lot and they're going to build on that lot, it's going to be on average $30,000 to prep that lot just to build on.
Correct. Correct.
That includes proper grading, seismic studies, the cost of soils treatment, bringing the utilities to the spot, then going ahead, getting all this put together so they can actually build on it. Well, part of that is clean off, right? And putting things in position where you can actually rebuild again. So I can definitely see if you've got a rubble of burnt mess, even that getting that off is, it's money. There's a real cost.
Right, there is. Cleaning that lot, prepping it for new construction. Absolutely. And again, most people, this is something that most people assume is on their homeowner's policy. And honestly, it's not. You want to make sure that you have the building code upgrades, you have cleaning the lot off, you have the fire department fees, you have guaranteed replacement on your contents. I've had some customers that have unfortunately lost their house, and it's devastating.
Sure.
And, you know, if I can at least rebuild their house, give them a new house, and replace all of their contents. I can't make up for the sentimental value, but I can at least have them go on a shopping spree and replace everything.
Sure.
And also, we didn't even mention loss of use.
That's true.
When their house burns down, they have to live somewhere else. Okay. And again, 8,000 fires last year. I've got a lot of experience with this, and I've seen the difference between the different insurance companies. If you drive through those neighborhoods up in Northern California, and you'll see an RV parked in the driveway about every other house, okay? That's because they didn't have enough loss of use coverage, and that family is living in that RV. That family of five is living in that 30-foot RV, and they're going to be there for 7 or 8 months until their house is rebuilt, including their pets.
Sure.
Okay. Versus I will see other houses where there's not an RV on the lot, and I know they had a good insurance company, and they relocated them. They rented a house somewhere else. Probably not in the same neighborhood because these whole neighborhoods are wiped out in this fire, but maybe a couple blocks away. And that family is in a house that's rented month to month, fully furnished, until they rebuild their house and then they move into the other house.
Yeah.
And so loss of use is a big thing that you want to make sure that you have. I recommend that you carry at least 12 months. And I would tell you to make sure that it's at least twice what the going rental rate is in your neighborhood. And this is something that I changed my philosophy on in the last year, seeing all these house fires. Before, I figured if houses in your neighborhood rented for $1,000 a month, then you needed $12,000 loss of use. Now I'm telling you, you need at least $24,000 or even $36,000, because what we found out, which is unfortunate, but in these neighborhoods where the entire neighborhood was wiped out, the neighborhood over next door that survived, they doubled and tripled the rent price.
Yeah, because they could.
Because there's no houses left to rent. And so whereas maybe $1,000 a month would have been fine before the fire, now those houses are renting for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month. And so I want to make sure that my clients have a lot of loss of use, because I've always looked at it on as an individual basis. But now with these fires in California, I'm looking at what happens if the whole neighborhood or whole community burns down, which is real likely.
Yeah, and it's significant because of the proximity to houses next to each other, plus any areas surrounding it. Fire is very difficult to build a fire line if the house is right adjacent. And literally this, I don't know what the mandatory space between them are, it's probably less than 20 feet. And that is just not enough space to not get the next house to start on fire, especially if there's any wind.
Well, and I hear all the time people say, well, I don't have to worry about that here in Bakersfield. You know, we're not surrounded by forests. No, but we're surrounded by foothills.
Yes.
And just last week, or actually this weekend, we had the big fire over off Breckenridge.
Yes.
And, you know, luckily they were able to put that out. But if they didn't get control of that, or if the wind would have kicked up, it could have easily hit those communities really close to that. And then once they go up, the neighborhood next to that goes up, and they just can't get control of it.
It was quite scary. I live out on the east side of town, and driving up over the 178, you could see literally embers and this like glow over the hills. And it was quite scary, kind of apocalyptic. And I can only imagine what they're dealing with in Northern California right now with the fires. Mm-hmm. It's just unreal, and it's scary. If anything, fire is unbelievably unsettling for people, and myself included.
When your mortgage is your biggest investment, for most people,
sure,
that's the biggest thing they're ever going to buy, and you really don't want to cut corners on it. You want to make sure that if something happens, your home is fully insured.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask some questions, because Farmers Insurance has a great advertising campaign. And you, I see it because I watch the Golf Channel quite a bit. But one of the things is, this is what we've seen.
We've seen this a thing or two.
Yes, and we covered it. So just if you have a couple of examples of maybe the should have calls that you received after somebody had a policy claim and they found out that they didn't go with the coverage that you had, they went someplace else, and now they're not covered. Have you had calls like that?
Yes. Yeah, usually it's usually they're insured with Farmers First, and they're used to sitting down with me, going over their coverage where I explain it line by line, and then something happens and they decide they want to save a few bucks on their homeowner's insurance. So they'll go to another company, and I usually will try to talk them out of it. I'll explain to them when they're leaving, okay, this is what you're giving up. You're not going to have this coverage, or this coverage. And usually it might be 2 or 3 years later, and I'll get a phone call, and they'll say, well, would you have covered this? Absolutely. Well, my new insurance isn't covering it. Is that possible? Can they not cover it? Yes, they can. If it's in their exclusions, that was one of the things I warned you about. So a couple examples would be, I had one where somebody ran into the house.
With a vehicle?
With a vehicle. They lived on a corner, and somebody, probably drunk driver, came around too fast and went through their fence into the house. Luckily, it went into the living room, and they were all asleep, so they weren't injured, but they hear this big crash, and they have this car in their living room. Not covered it because the insurance didn't cover it because they had a fire-only policy, and the house didn't catch on fire. But we're talking $30,000 worth of damage. You know, they had to get someone out there, clean it up. Thank goodness no one was hurt. But now they're, you know, trying to fix that house with a big hole in it. It's not like you can just patch it up.
Sure.
You got to fix the electric and all that. I've had people call back later and they said that their toilet overflowed. Child stuck a Hot Wheel car down in the toilet and tried to flush it. And then they took off. Left for the day, came back, and the house was flooded, and the policy didn't cover water damage. Lots of claims where people have called in, and their policy doesn't cover theft. Mm-hmm. You know, they came home for the weekend, and their house was just ransacked. The saddest was, I actually had one where they stole his puppy.
Oh.
Yeah. He called me and said that his puppy was in a kennel in the garage, and he didn't care about the TV or any of that. He just wanted the puppy back, and the puppy was gone. But of course, I mean, the insurance wouldn't have covered that, but that just popped in my head that that was a pretty sad one. But a lot of theft claims, again, they have a theft claim, and they're surprised that, you know, because they were with Farmers before and we covered guarantee replacement, we would have replaced their TV with a brand new one, to find out that they're only given a couple $100 and it's not enough to buy a new TV. And they'll usually ask me, well, where do they expect me to go? Where do I buy used TVs? Well, yard sale, Salvation Army. But I mean, who wants to replace all their items after a theft? And that's the thing, is when your house gets broken into, it's, you know, I'm there to replace the contents, but that's really not the worst of it. Insurance is there. It's that feeling that my clients have of, it's just like you were violated.
Yes.
You know, someone was in your house and they went through your drawers and dumped everything out, and you don't feel safe afterwards. And that part I can't really do anything about. But at least if I can replace your contents and get you back to where you were before. And that's usually what I hear most of the time, is it wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And I can't believe that my insurance company is not replacing my items with brand new items. This wasn't my fault. I just want to be back to where I was. And that's what a good insurance policy is going to do, is it's going to be there to put you back where you were. And hopefully your insurance agent can hold your hand and talk to you about the other issues, you know, that you're going through. Lots of times they cry. You know, that happens a lot. They come in after a theft, especially after a fire, but even after a theft, come in, and then they're just very emotional, and it's difficult. And it's something that we just have to get you through.
Sure. Well, those are really good examples, and I'm sure that there are plenty of other stories that you probably could come up with over time just because of your experiences. And you and I have talked about this. I think with the number of policies and the number of applications that you receive, you've had literally thousands and thousands of applications and policies over time that have been written. So you have mastery over that because you have over 20,000 hours of experience in your specified field. But couple that with just reality that you've seen a lot of things because you've had enough at bats to do that, right? So you also have ways to look at the policy or what's being requested for coverage and say, this may not be the best mix. Maybe you need more. And that leads me to the next question, an umbrella.
Correct.
What is an umbrella policy?
Correct. And you had hit it exactly right. When I take on a new client, I'm not an order taker. If you call 1-800 number and say, I need homeowners insurance, they're going to sell you a policy. But they aren't going to really ask you any questions or try to get to know you and your needs. You do a great job of kind of filling us in on the customer, kind of giving us a little bit of background information, what their occupation is, if this is their first house, if they have additional rental properties, kind of what their exposure is. But remember, we have that liability insurance on the house, and that package comes with $100,000. That's the standard. But remember, you're responsible for anything and everything that happens on your property. So that burglar that gets hurt, or that person that drowns in your pool or your dog bites, how much are they going to sue you for? They're going to sue you for as much as they can get. They're not going to say, oh, well, they have $100,000. Let's sue them for that. Okay, they're going to sue you for whatever they can. And so what I do is I try to figure out what your exposure is. How much could you potentially lose if something catastrophic happened and you got sued? Whether it be an auto accident, a home accident, a slander lawsuit because you posted a negative review online. I mean, whatever happens, what's the most that you can be sued for? And then I want to make sure that you have enough insurance in place to cover that. And so if that goes over $500,000 of your assets, then the next step is for us to add an umbrella. So I like to learn about my customers and find out exactly what their property is, what's the value of their house, do they have any major toys like boats or motorcycles or jet skis, what do they have in their retirement account, how much do they make a year, and then that can help me determine what they have that could be exposed to a lawsuit. And then we purchase $1 million umbrella or a $2 million umbrella or $3 million to make sure that we cover that up. So I kind of do a needs analysis and add up everything that they could potentially lose to determine what kind of their net worth is.
Sure.
Okay. And then we make sure that we have an umbrella policy. So all an umbrella policy is, it's a liability policy that extends the liability on your house and your car up to $1 million, $2 million thereon. Very affordable. Typically, they run less than $300 a year. Most umbrella policies that I issue are about $25, $30 a month. I usually will put it on their auto policy so it's billed with their cars because they pay that monthly. But to me, even though it's the cheapest insurance policy you're going to buy, it's the most important.
Sure.
Because that really protects you. What I don't want to happen is you just bought this brand new house and you're working really hard and you've been saving up your retirement, and Lord forbid an accident happens at your house. Maybe your dog bit someone or someone drowned in the pool, any number of things that happen. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in court and they're suing you for $1 million. Okay. Could they take your house? Yes. I mean, it depends on how the lawsuit turns out. If they win the lawsuit, they could very easily put a lien on your property.
Sure.
Okay. They can intercept your tax returns. They could put a lien on even your pay that you get. They can take that. They can take your retirement account. Now, if you have enough insurance, then you really don't have to worry about that. But that's why you need to meet with your insurance agent every year, because things are going to change. Maybe the first time I meet with you, you don't have any assets. So the $100,000 might be enough on the homeowner's policy. Maybe a few years later, we can increase that to $500,000 and now we're sufficient. But maybe a few years later, you graduate from college, you start a new career, you've really put a lot of money in your retirement. Maybe you bought rental property that I didn't know about. Maybe you inherited money. I mean, all sorts of things change. So once a year, we get together and we go over all of that so we can determine how much insurance you need. And so it's not cookie cutter at all.
Yeah,
it's tailored to each customer.
It really sounds like an evaluation that I actually go through already with my clients. Part of my responsibility as a mortgage professional is to, number one, determine your qualifications, but also figure out your asset base to figure out how much you can qualify for if we have due asset depletion, if we're, you know, purchasing property, if you own into the property. And those are the times that I kind of uncover needs for us to at least have a conversation with you to say, you know, this particular client really does have a lot of exposure. It would be recommended that they increase their coverage or have an umbrella so that it provides them some security when they sleep at night, knowing they have protection for those types of things. So that's huge. And I think that a lot of listeners to this podcast may or not have an umbrella policy, have heard the term, maybe don't understand it, and maybe need to look into it, especially if they have asset base of their income, what they have in retirement accounts or investments, what they have in real property, what they have in personal property. We didn't even talk about this, but collectibles, guns, if they have lots of jewelry or things like that, these are all additional things that are, if you want them protected, right, you should have more coverage for liability and other.
And also your lifestyle.
Sure, okay? That's true.
If you're out there playing golf, you need an umbrella. Because you might...
What are you trying to say, Marcy?
No, I've had it happen. I've seen a thing or two, so I know a thing or two. Let's say you're out there golfing and you hit that ball and it smacks into somebody.
Sure.
Okay? Your auto insurance isn't going to cover it.
Yeah.
Your homeowner's insurance isn't going to cover it because you're on the golf course. That's where that umbrella comes in. Mm. If you're a hunter, you definitely need it. Like I said, off-road vehicles. We have a lot of people in Kern County that have dirt bikes and quads and things like that. I've been out there. We have a Jeep. And I see these five-year-old kids riding these quads. Well, if you run into one of them, you're going to get sued.
Sure.
And so really, it depends on your lifestyle as well. If you have horses, you need to make sure. If you have a gun, if you have any firearms, you definitely need to make sure that you have the insurance.
You know, one of the things that helps people to kind of get accustomed to the insurance world, if you will, is also renter's insurance. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that those that have renter's insurance, it's not as big of a transition for them to get homeowner's insurance. It's really not significantly different in cost. I mean, it's literally probably within $50 what they're paying for renter's insurance. But I think it's an important thing, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what are basic renter insurance coverages?
Renter's insurance is just like the homeowner's insurance, except we're not insuring the dwelling.
Okay.
So you're renting the house or apartment. The landlord, whoever owns the property, has a landlord policy that's insuring it, the dwelling. They're not covering any of your contents. They're not covering the liability in case you get sued. They're not covering loss of use in case there's something that happens at the apartment. If there's a fire, maybe it starts in another unit and it burns down your unit, you don't have a place to live. You've got to move somewhere. The loss of use will pay the first and last month's down. Usually it's $5,000 or $6,000 that we'll give you to help you find another place. And then also your contents, if they were destroyed, or even a break-in, theft. And so, yes, if you're renting, you need renter's insurance. It's super cheap. It's like less than $15 a month.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's very reasonable. And I think it provides you with some protections that you probably didn't know that you needed.
Right. Well, liability, that's a big one. And people don't realize this. If you are in, let's say you're in an apartment building connected to two other units, and you're cooking dinner and you start a fire, okay? Yes, your landlord has fire insurance and that apartment building is going to be rebuilt, but his insurance is going to come after you because you caused the fire. And so that liability protection that we have on that policy is going to cover you from being sued by your landlord for burning down his apartment building.
Note to self, don't burn down the apartment building while you're cooking in your house if you have neighbors that are adjacent to your unit. All right, so we've gone through a lot of stuff, Marcy. I'm learning so much, and I thank you for not only your time but expertise. So one thing that I think a lot of people know or hear about is discounts. So what are some standard discounts for maybe certain professions that you as a company offer that you can kind of share with me?
Right. I actually think Farmers has more discounts than any other insurance company. And again, you need an insurance agent that's going to ask you the questions to see if you qualify for any of these discounts. Our biggest ones are going to be our affinity discounts, which is based on your occupation. So we're going to give a 10 or 15% discount on your auto and homeowners, so a big discount, for someone who is a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a correctional officer, any sort of law enforcement, veterinarians, a pharmacist. Even if you have a science degree, and this is one of the big ones, you may not be working in that field, but you may have a 4-year degree in biology. Mm-hmm. but now you're working for an insurance agent or a mortgage broker, we can still give you the scientist discount because of what you majored in college. So my staff is trained to ask everybody, what's your occupation? Do you have a college degree? What is your spouse's occupation? Do they have a college degree? And that's really because we're looking for those affinity discounts. Then, of course, the other big one is the auto home discount. If you insure your home and your car with us, we're going to give you a 25% discount on both of those, on the home and the auto. And so a lot of times when you'll send over something asking me to give a quote for your client's homeowner's insurance, we'll usually contact them and say, what's the year, make, and model of your car? The reason we're doing that is because we want to package it together and give you the best possible rate. You get a 5% discount if you add that umbrella policy. We didn't talk about earthquake insurance. If you add earthquake insurance, which you should, it's very affordable here in Kern County, you get another 5% discount on your homeowner's policy. A central alarm. If you have an alarm that just goes off when you have a break-in or a fire, but it's not monitored by a local company, then you'll get a 3% discount. But if it's monitored by a company, ADT or M&S Security, Kern Security, something like that, then you get a bigger discount. We have the no smoking discount. If you don't smoke in your house, you'll get a discount. You have a discount for having the interior sprinklers for fire. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones for auto insurance, you know, good student and different things that we can add on for the young drivers.
So it sounds to me that bundling is what I'm hearing is a good idea, especially if you want to get additional affinity discounts. But just by giving enough information for your staff to look into other options to save you money will be a big benefit as far as use of your time. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, the more information we have, we can recommend coverage to you and recommend discounts. And most of those discounts, I mean, I can't just put them on. They have to be validated.
Sure,
so if
sure.
you have an alarm, I need to contact the alarm company. If you, I'll need a copy of your diploma or different things. But we're asking those questions because we're really trying to give you the best possible rate. It doesn't do us any good to give you a high premium and then have you shop around and go somewhere else.
Sure.
Over the long term, we'd rather you stay with us. And so we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that we're giving you the best possible rate.
One of the hardest things for me as a mortgage lender is to tell people no. So I'm going to ask you some kind of questions driven towards what would be situations where maybe the insurance offerings that you have may not be the best match with your company. So what would be an example of that?
And again, I have a little bit more freedom because I have other companies that I can write for. But for example, let's say Farmers Insurance. You want your house insured with Farmers, but you have an older, maybe you have a wood roof. Okay, or you've got a whole bunch of trees that have overgrown or are touching the roof, or the paint's starting to peel. Or you have a swimming pool and there's not a fence in your backyard. Okay, it doesn't happen often, but once in a while it'll be out in the country and we'll drive by and there's a pool and they have no fence. So if it can't qualify for Farmers, and that's why I kind of do field underwriting ahead of time, what I don't want to do is issue the policy with Farmers and then have you get a letter 30 days after you close telling you the policy's canceled and then you're getting a refund check and I got to jump through the hoops and get you another policy. So I will usually ask the client if they have pictures, if they can email or text them over to me. That's the quickest because I can take a look right on my computer and decide whether or not I can place it with Farmers. If they don't, sometimes I'll ask the lender or the mortgage if they can send me a copy of the appraisal because I got some pictures. If not, then I'll take off and drive by after I close at the end of the day and get the pictures that I need. But if it doesn't qualify for Farmers, then we'll put it with our sister company, Foremost. And if it's in really bad shape, and this usually isn't a homeowner's policy, but this could be an investment property for you, it's been vacant for a long time, then I may have to put vacant insurance on it. And if I really can't find any other insurance company to insure it because of its condition, then I'll put it with California Fair Plan, which is a government program. Mm. So I guess I have a little bit more freedom than some agents that can only write with their company.
Sure. And those happen occasionally. One of the things that we look at as lenders is that it's one of the three C's: credit, capacity, and collateral. Collateral is the piece that you cover, but it's also important for the bank. And I give this example in the home buyer workshop is that a bank is not going to lend on a car that's up on blocks, right? So the condition of what we're holding up with this loan needs to meet the requirements. So if there are basic health and safety standards that don't meet the requirements of the bank, it's not going to close on that loan. We need to have proper insurance. If there's something wrong with the roof and it can't be insured, or it needs to have roof certification, or there's a plumbing leak, or there's something that would put the bank at risk for additional loss, we do not want to take on that loan. Now, it's not to say that if these things are not remedied, that we will not do a loan. It's saying that in its present condition, we cannot insure the loan properly. So that's the same thing it sounds like that your underwriting is doing, is they're managing to make sure that what they are insuring will have some long-term lastability. But if there are things that can be improved, it would then change the policy to protect them. Perhaps let's just say they have an older shake roof. Mm-hmm. If the roof is replaced, can it be re-rated?
Correct. Right.
Okay. Yes. Would that be an example?
Yes. So I may place it, if you have an old roof and it doesn't qualify with Farmers, I might place it with our sister company Foremost.
Sure.
Until you get a new roof. And then once you get a new roof, then I would switch it back to Farmers.
Okay. Yeah, and those are things that are all important to discuss on the front end. I believe in transparency because consumers typically make a better decision if they have all the information. There's nothing worse than, I think, being pigeonholed into one particular product or one particular item only because that's what the professional or so-called professional offered you versus educating you.
Correct.
So you can make a decision based off of as many options as available to you at the time.
And I think that's what happens a lot of times when a company, when a customer will just call an 800 number. The person that they're talking to has to, you know, answer so many calls. As soon as they get off the phone, their phone's ringing again, and they know they're never going to see you again, and so they're just going to put you in a package. They're not really going to figure out what your needs are and what product's going to best suit you, versus having an agent that you're going to do business with for the next 20, 30 years.
Sure. Well, I'll bring something up that is kind of off the record because we talked about this the last time you and I spoke. Having had not only your history with Farmers, but also your reputation with the company, is your relationship perhaps for pulling strings and making things happen maybe a little bit better than a newbie off the street or perhaps the 800 number and making perhaps an adjustment or perhaps an exception for a one-time incident?
Yes, and that happens a lot in claims. I have a little bit of pull because I'm a president's council agent,
sure.
One of the top 100 agents in the company. And when I do call Farmers, I give them my agent number,
sure.
And they know my stats and how long I've been here and what I've done. And so a lot of times, they will make exceptions. It's not guaranteed. It's nothing that I absolutely can get, but I do help my clients with claims a lot. Especially auto claims and different things. I have an example this morning. Somebody came in to see me and they had our next generation homeowners policy, which is our best package. But they really needed to save some money. Her husband had lost his job. And so I rewrote the house to our smart home, which is our good one, the one that has a lot more holes in it. But it did save her about $200 a year. And she wanted to go with that policy. Well, after I issued it, I found out that she wasn't eligible for it because she had two claims. And you can only have one claim to qualify for that policy. So what they were going to do is cancel that policy effective next month, and then she wasn't going to have any insurance, which to me was unacceptable because she had insurance before she talked to me. And so I was on the phone for about 2 hours this morning talking to underwriters, talking to supervisors. And at first they told me, no, there's nothing we can do. We're sorry. We're not going to put her back in the other policy. And I said, yes, you absolutely are. We're going to grandfather her in and we're going to reinstate that policy, the one that she had prior to making those changes. And after speaking to a couple people, throwing my weight around a little bit, we finally got it fixed.
Yeah.
But I don't think if it wasn't for the reputation of my agency that would have happened.
Sure.
But they were willing to make a condition to keep that policy in force because they knew we were looking out for the customer's best interest.
And in those instances, I like to say the same thing for mortgage finance. If I need to pull strings at appropriate levels, I will do so. If I need to get management involved, I let them play the heavy. But you don't do that all the time because you do your job well on the front end. Those types of holes are few and far between. But sometimes you need that, and relationship is important. So we've actually run quite a bit. Did you know we've actually talked for almost 50 minutes? It goes so fast. I want to just wrap up this conversation by just asking you a couple of questions regarding what the biggest complaint you have that comes in about homeowners insurance policies. Is there anything that you see kind of regularly and comes in consistently?
Yes. It's going to be, well, two of them. One, prior claims.
Okay.
The customer doesn't understand why their premium is going to go up because there was a claim at the house prior to them owning it. And claims follow the person because statistically we know that if you turn in one claim, the chances of turning in another claim are higher. And so that will follow the person for 5 years, but it also follows the property, especially if it was something like a water leak.
Sure.
If you had one water leak at that property, chances of having a second one are higher. And so when I'm doing quotes for a new home buyer, I really think that they should find out if there's any prior claims before they even make an offer on the house and find out what effect that's going to have on their insurance. Here at Farmers, I can write it if they've had one claim. If they've had two claims, then we're going to have a problem. I may have to shop for the insurance. So that comes up a lot. The other thing is probably the difference between market value and reconstruction. And I have to educate my clients a lot on that. When they look at the quote I send over, the amount that I'm insuring the house for, the dwelling amount, may not exactly match the amount that you're paying. And so if you're just comparing policy with another policy and going with the one that has the highest dwelling coverage, that may not be accurate. That may not be the best policy for you. So I have to explain to my customers that I'm insuring it for reconstruction in case it burns down. What you're buying includes the land, the market value, the neighborhood, other things. And so a big difference, just trying to educate them on those things.
Yeah, and I think it's just key. And it sounds like we talk the same language. It's about education. In the situations that you're talking about with prior claims, someone having a claim and then moving to another property, those are case specific.
Right.
It obviously doesn't generally meet every person's requirements to have that kind of a thing following them. But, you know, we're pretty much out of time, but I wanted to thank you so much, Marcy, for your time. And I've learned a lot, and I thank you for your expertise. How can the listeners of the podcast reach you if they have questions?
The best way is just to call my office. One of my staff will answer their call, and then we can just either run them a quote if they're interested in that, or maybe there was a question that popped up during this podcast that they want some more information on. We
sure.
don't mind just answering their questions.
And what's the best phone number then?
It's area code 661-587-4554.
Perfect. Thank you again, Marcy. I appreciate your time. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And again, you guys, if you have questions, please reach out to Marcy's office. All of her staff are licensed to answer questions. And if they don't have the answer, they have lots of resources specifically because they've had so many experiences. Again, thank you so much for listening to Mortgage Space and have a great day.